Are you tired of missing day two of a GP by one match? Are you tired of missing top eight on breakers? Yeah, so are we. And that's why we're the B team. I'm Alex Mangone, joined with me by my three wonderful co-hosts, Joe Gardner, Chris Thomas, and wait, where's John?
John might have messed up and made day two in Orlando. He might not be on the B team much longer doing that.
Oh.
Yeah. Official honorary founding member, John Cummings.
All right. So we decided to make this podcast to kind of talk about our lives, talk about magic, and how they're all related. We figured we weren't going to be good enough to give you guys actual advice about how to play Magic the Gathering. We'll leave that to the wonderful people at the Constructed Resources Unlimited.
Are you saying Roy Scott Vargas is better than me?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Yeah, you're probably right. So one thing we do know, we may not be the best Magic players on Earth, but you can learn from some of our mistakes, and perhaps we can entertain you along the way.
So, like I said, my name's Alex Mangone. I'm a Latin teacher and a level one magic judge. I've been playing magic for about 4 years now, coming up in the fall. What about you, Joe?
I am a construction worker, and by construction worker, I work for a company that builds roads, concrete, asphalt quarries. I've been playing Magic since 95. I feel like I was better in 99. Like I peaked in 99. It's been downhill ever since. Yeah, that's pretty much me in a nutshell. So, Chris?
I'm a full-time student at University of Tennessee. I've been playing Magic since New Phyrexia.
What year was New Phyrexia?
2011?
Okay, so you have some years there still.
So, Joe, what did you play this past week? Any
What?
events, decks? What you got for us?
So, since this idea was born, this idea, for the listeners, was born driving back from the Open in Atlanta when we had 3 to 4 hours in the car talking about our plays and thinking, we're benefiting from open and honest discussion. Perhaps other people could as well. Why not just record this open and honest discussion, pretty much unedited, and put it out there and see if people can, one, learn from it, and two, give us feedback. So I'm actually going to start at the Open in Atlanta.
Okay.
So the Open in Atlanta, I played Green Red Ramp. My deck choice was based solely on the fact that Green Red Ramp has the most cards that can also be played in Modern. So I
Okay.
spent the least amount of money solely on standard because I can just put these cards in Tron later.
Sure.
And that is how you choose the right deck for an event.
I disagree, but we'll get into that later.
Okay. So I had about 20 hours with the deck on Modo under my belt. I had tested with one of the premier teams here in Knoxville, Team Hard Knox, to get ready for this event. And I was actually very proud of how I did in this event. I went 5-4 with a deck I literally ordered on TCG Player, and it got here 2 days before the event.
Okay.
5-4, I lost round one on a misplay, straight up, game three, lost it on a misplay. My opponent in round one ended up with like 28 match points. So I don't know where he finished, but when I looked at my pairings, he had 28 match points, so maybe he would have beat me anyway. But I cast Kozilek's Return on his turn. He's playing an Avacyn deck, and I know this. And I was like, max value, baby. I waited till his turn to cast Kozilek's Return. Well, guess what he played? Yeah, there's Avacyn. I was like, oh, I should have played that while you're tapped out, huh? I just completely blanked on that. It was dumb. It was dumb. I would have put him at zero. I would have like 5-for-1'd him on value. But I wanted 6-for-1. So yeah, I lost.
A good lesson not to let your greed take over you.
Yeah, typically if you see a situation where you can 5-for-1 somebody, you should just take it.
Yeah.
But 6-for-1 is better. No, but that's how I chose the deck. That's really the biggest glaring misplay I had there. When you play a deck like Green Red Ramp, you should understand you're 70-30 in a lot of matchups and you just win. Like black white control. I played it twice and I was just casting spells and doing things. And they're like, transgress the mind. I'm like, okay, well, you don't have any pressure. So there literally, I had 7 land in hand. I had every land either in play or in my hand at one point in the game against Black White Control. He had Obnixilus down and Sorin down. I still won. Like, I did. Oh, look, there's Ulamog. Sack off 4 Sanctums. Hey, look, I got more Ulamogs. I don't know how they win. I really don't. I think they have to race.
Yeah, so I actually play black white in standard right now, and it is very tough that matchup. Basically, I have to shred your hand apart and, like, land an early Gideon.
Yeah.
And hope you don't draw out of it.
Yeah, I think Gideon's definitely...
So, I did have... He one time, what is the card? Put a bunch of 1-1 tokens.
Secure the waste.
So, he secured for, like, 8. And I was a little worried. He untapped, played Westfell Abbey. I was very worried. I think he assumed at this point I had nothing, so he went ahead and cast Gideon. And I was more worried. He emblemed and put me at, like, 2. And then I drew a Worldbreaker and blew up his guy in flashback, blew up his Westfell Abbey in flashback, Kozilek's return. And I was like, okay.
It's weird he didn't just flip the Westfell Abbey.
No, he should have probably flipped the Westfell Abbey. But he did more damage with the Gideon emblem. He did 12 with the Gideon emblem, because Gideon came down, made an emblem, so he had 12 damage versus 9. But I don't...
I think if you're expecting Kozilek's returns... I'd have probably not played the Gideon and just held up the Kozilek's return in case this very thing happens where it's like, Worldbreaker you. I'll make Ormondal in response.
Yeah, it seems good, but I don't know. Maybe that's his misplay for the day.
Maybe.
You went to the open, right, Chris?
Unfortunately.
I feel like I saw you there.
Yeah, I was there.
What table number were you at?
Oh. How low did they go? I don't remember.
Oh, boy. It was, yeah.
Yeah, I made the mistake of playing blue-red flyers.
Why did you choose that deck, Chris?
I mean, it looks awesome, right?
Yeah, it does.
Plays Gold Knight Castigator. What more do you want?
4/9 haste, I mean.
The problem with the deck was that it played Gold Knight Castigator. And, unfortunately, that card kills you.
What happens when you have two of those in play?
Oh, bad things. Real bad. I had to play one. I played the mirror round 2. I think it was on tilt after that. And I was like, how do I play the blue-red flyers mirror? And I played had to play my second Gold Knight Castigator to play defense. So anything killed me at that point.
So what you're saying is Exquisite Firecraft was worth 16 damage.
Yeah.
And that's magic.
Yeah, so you won Smacky for 8.
What was your record before you dropped?
1-3, 2-3.
Yeah.
It was rough. I tried to block it out.
Yeah. I saw part of that game. I saw the judge call, so.
Yeah, I was just hoping for the best there. I think that's all you can do.
I would say the best thing about that event for me, hotel was nice.
Yes, it was.
Mangone woke me up at 2 o'clock in the morning snoring, and I literally couldn't wake him up. How many hours had you been up before you went to bed?
At that point, I had been up for roughly like 36 hours.
Yeah,
I think, which was my mistake of the tournament, by the way. For some reason, anytime we travel to an open that's not local here in Knoxville, I just can't sleep the night before, and so when it was time to wake up and go drive down to Atlanta, I just didn't have to wake up because I had been awake. So I tried to sleep in the car. That didn't exactly work out too well, because Joe drives a coupe, and yeah, no backseat.
Yeah. Well, at 2 a.m, you rolled over and started snoring. I think I could have had my way with you. Like, I was shoving.
Shoving what, Joe?
that went really wrong. Like, I was, like, beating on your chest, like, Alex, Alex, Alex! Didn't faze him. Did not freaking faze him. So I drove to Walmart at 2 o'clock and got earphones. And when I came back, he wasn't snoring anymore.
How was the Walmart, by the way?
Oh, God. Don't go to Walmart in Atlanta at 2 a.m. without a gun. luckily for me, I always have at least one. I was just like, man, I don't know where I am. Maybe every Walmart at 2 a.m. is like that.
I believe so.
Okay, so I should change that to don't go to Walmart at 2 a.m. without a gun. No, it was weird. It was just...
I'm surprised they don't have that in the...
Gun required?
Gun required. after 1 a.m.
I saw a sign somewhere, and it had the little... It had like a revolver, and it had the circle with the line through it. And I was like, well, that's stupid. I'm glad I carry a Glock. I mean... Who carries revolvers?
Yeah.
No, but it was a pretty good event. Pretty good event. Day 2, I played Boggles, which was the mistake in of itself. But I was tired. Didn't really feel like thinking a lot. I lost to the people I should have lost to. I lost to Kevin Jones. I should have won that matchup. Should have beat Kevin Jones. But alas, I'm on the B team, so it happens. You played day two, right, Chris?
Yeah, I played in
fact. You played on day two, not in day two.
Yeah, sorry. No, you don't make day two in Blue Red Flyers. That's not going to happen. Yeah, I played Infect, and think to preserve my B team presence, I dropped after X2, I believe, at the end.
You were 4-2, though, right? You started 4-2,
yeah.
You started 4-0.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lost two, like, really.
Yeah, I saw you're playing Philip Lauren, who's an affinity player out of Atlanta. In round six, I mean, it's okay when you lose to people like that are, you know, good. It's not okay when you lose to people that are bad. And that's science.
Yep. Yeah, I also played in the Modern Classic on day two. I was playing Jund. Sadly, the pairings lottery was not kind to me. So round one was Tron. Round two was Burn. Beat that. Round three was another Burn player. That I lost to. Four was Infect. I won. Five was Eldrazi Death and Taxes, which I drew because sadly my opponent had trouble remembering how Modern works.
Yeah.
I was teaching him a lot, and so that kind of slowed us down. And after that, I lost my next round to Burn again, and I was just like, I think I'm done here.
Yeah.
I was a little salty about all that.
Did you say you were a little burned out?
I was. Thank you for that one, Chris. Thank you.
I'll go.
I did unlock an achievement playing Modern.
Yeah?
I was playing Boggles, and I beat Living It.
Really?
Yeah, that's why I'm not playing Boggles anymore.
Yeah, I think that's all you want. You've used up all your luck, Joe.
Yeah. Yeah, I really did. I don't know how. He suspended a Living End that got so bad.
Wow.
So, he tapped out for something to cycle on his turn, looking, I think, for a land to go ahead and do the cascading. But I wasn't putting any pressure on him. I had an unequipped Boggle in play. So, yeah. When he tapped out, I untapped, played Aether Sworn Canonist, and put a Spirit Mantle on it. Yeah, and I was like, okay. I wonder if you still have any way to kill that in your deck. And he didn't, so he no longer could cascade into Living End. I won.
I also saw his hand. It was like all Demonic Dread, so he didn't have any targets. I was like, that seems bad.
Oh, the Demonic Dread can target the Canonist.
Yeah. But at that point, you can't cascade.
But at that point, do it. He actually dropped. I think that made him X2, and he dropped. He was very upset about it. So, and that's okay. That happens.
Yep.
So.
Now, Joe, you had the pleasure of going up to GP Columbus.
I did.
Was it this past weekend?
GP Columbus. Okay, so Pez usually runs really crappy events.
Yes.
They did.
It's the reason why I didn't go to Columbus.
They did an almost spectacular job.
Almost spectacular.
Almost spectacular. Okay. There was no... And this is a gripe. Down here in the south, we have Star City. And Star City runs great events.
Yes, they do.
Star City sells an infinite challenge badge, which is all I want.
Oh, yeah. No, they're great value.
It's all I want. I want the infinite... Like, I went up for this event on Thursday. So I was there Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Sure.
Actually, I left. I didn't stay for... But, because I scrubbed out. I want an infinite challenge badge. They didn't sell them. Side events were cash only. Yep. Side events were cash only. So I played one side event on Friday. I wanted to play two, but I didn't have enough cash on me. The vendors were wonderful. I got the shirt I'm wearing now from a vendor as part of a deal.
Interesting.
Yes. But no, Pez actually did a really great job as far as everything went. Their pairings were online finally. They switched the host and the website they had them online at after round four and didn't tell anybody. So if you weren't punching the web address in over and over and you were just refreshing your browser, it quit working.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, but no, they did a spectacular job. And I got to hang out with the guys from Boston from Leaving a Legacy podcast.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. They rented a house. They were kind enough to let me stay in the house. We drafted Eternal Masters several times. We drank some whiskey. Had some local pizza that was great. Man, I couldn't ask for a better group of guys to hang out with, honestly. I'm looking forward to the next event I get to see them at.
Awesome. But, awesome. So...
You don't want to talk about the main event, dude.
Well, you said you had a story about it, and you been like, just wait till we record. So, we're recording now, Joe, and I'd really like to know what happened.
Okay, so, on Friday, I had been given a lot of stuff from people here in Knoxville. Hey, take my four Tarmogoyfs and sell them to vendors. Take my bulk rares from Theros block and sell them to vendors. Yeah. Yeah. I saw that face you made. Yeah. Tarmogoyfs, you would think, would be easy to sell.
Sure.
Unless you go to a GP where the vendors brought every Tarmogoyf on Earth. seriously, before I left on Friday evening, I left the hall at about 6. You could buy a playset of Tarmogoyfs for like $450.
Wow.
Yeah, cheap. There were, like, I forget which vendor it was. 504 Games or something? 504 MTG?
Okay.
Yeah, they had a stack of Modern Masters 2015 Goyfs. A stack, like 50 of them. Everybody had Tarmogoyfs everywhere. I thought maybe the Chinese fakes just showed up in bunches. Like somebody just mailed in boxes. They were everywhere. So I had 4 Future Sight Goyfs walking around to vendors. I'm like, what could I get for these? One of them was Chinese. Like, not a Chinese fake. It was in Chinese. Nobody wanted that one.
Mm-hmm.
So for all 4 of them, I was getting offers like, ah, we'll give you $220.
Jeez.
I was like, uh-oh. Like, I knew how much the guy wanted, and it just wasn't happening.
Sure.
Nobody was getting close to the number. Finally, one vendor, I agitated about it enough, I guess, offered me $380, and that was enough that the guy would come, that sent him with me, would come off of.
Sure.
But it was rough, man.
I bet.
The vendors on Friday weren't buying. They were selling.
Oh, yeah.
The vendor that actually bought them from me, I hooked one of the guys with us. I've talked to him later. Bought 3 black bordered dual lands from that vendor. So I think there was some goodwill going on there. I think because I was talking to him, then yelled for the guy from Leaving a Legacy to come over. Jerry, for anybody that listens to Leaving a Legacy, to come over. I was like, he has what you're looking for here, and I think that sort of helped the deal.
Right.
And I mean, they gave us a good deal on the dual lands,
mm-hmm.
and then they were agreeable to buy those Goyfs also. So that was very helpful. The bulk, I was getting offers. I had 2,500 bulk rares. I was getting offers like $25.
That sounds about right.
I mean, the guy wanted a tropical island. Yeah, I'm a miracle worker.
Okay.
Here's the card.
I verify its presence.
Yes. So
is it real?
It is real.
Okay.
There's a loop if you want to check it. Right. I do check every expensive card with a loop.
Sure.
So that came as part of another deal.
Uh-oh.
I went... oh, boy. I went to the Grand Prix with Foil, Death, and Taxes. Every card in the deck was Foil, except Wastelands and Rashadan Ports.
Uh-huh.
I played it in a side event on Friday, and when I was dealing out my opening hands, very quickly realized I could tell the difference between the Foil cards and the not-Foil cards.
Uh-oh.
None of my opponents noticed or said anything, and obviously I wasn't cheating. I wasn't trying to gain an advantage, and this is casual REL, no deck list required, blah, blah, blah.
Uh-huh.
But I knew if I tried to play this in the Grand Prix, I was probably going to get in trouble, so I needed to find all the cards for Death and Taxes at the Grand Prix from vendors if I was to play Death and Taxes for this event. So there goes $1,000. So that wasn't going to happen. So I took my Foil Death and Taxes list, Foil Judge Promo Caracas, not those horrible Modern Masters ones that killed the price on my promo ones, and, Ice Age Arena Lands Foil. Everything Foil and Promo. Batter Skull and the Old School Card Frame Promo. The Jitte Promo. Everything that could be Promo is Promo. Okay? I mean, the deck was beautiful. I'd shopped for it for 8 months, bought it piece by piece. Kind of miss it. But I couldn't play it in good faith. I knew... I could tell when I even paid attention when I shuffled, I could tell where the cards were.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was going to be cheating, whether it was on purpose or not.
Right.
So I took it to the vendor, whose shirt I'm wearing now, Dex Protection.
Uh-huh.
I think that's their name. They had a different name on their banner. Super nice guys. I took the deck over there with the bulk that they had already offered me $95 for, which was crazy to
me.
Yeah. Yeah. So I took the bulk over there, took my foil deck, asked them what they'd give me for my foil deck separately from the bulk. And they offered me $995 for it. And I said, well, if you can do $200 for the bulk, I can do $1,000 for the deck. And they said, okay. I mean, they're going to make a good profit off this deck.
Yeah.
And they actually, when I went back later, like round 8, and asked what they had left in the deck, if they'd sold any of it, the only thing they had left was the Foil Phyrexian Revokers. Everything else. The Saga Mother of Ruins. I did have Saga, not Promo, because Old School Card Frame's better.
Yeah,
Saga Mother of Ruins. Everything had sold. So wow. They made their money.
Oh, sure.
But in exchange, I got a tropical island for the guy that wanted it. It actually cost me some money, probably, but that's okay. Because I did get this. Let me dig this out real quick.
Okay.
Ooh. English Near Mint Light Play. It's got 2 slight nicks on it. Tabernacle at Pendril Vale.
Jeez.
So I got value. And they also threw in a Batter Skull. So for my $1,000 in cards, they gave me about $1,250. And I gave them 2,400 bulk cards.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they gave me this t-shirt that I was required to wear for the rest of the event. And then I had to quickly register Goblin Charbelcher.
Oh, no.
How did that go?
About as well as you would expect. Round one, I had a bye. Round two, I sat down. This is a teaching moment. Round two, I sat down next across from a dredge player.
Okay.
He said, first turn in the blind Cabal Therapy. I said, sure. Oh, by the way, I was laying my poison token down, so everybody might think I was playing poison. I always lay a poison token down when I play, even though I never played Infect. In the blind, forcibly. Okay. So I showed him my hand. Mm-hmm. I was one mana away from belching him to death.
Mm-hmm.
I drew. I didn't get it. I passed turn. He did some dredgy stuff and passed turn, and then he died. Game two, I never drew the combo, and he had like five turns to dredge and just blew me out with Flamekin Zealots and zombies. Game three is the teaching moment, children.
Okay.
He's on the draw. I mull to five. You can't mull past five with Belcher. You just don't have a prayer. So I had stuff. Uh-huh. Oh, and by the way, in game one, I killed him with tendrils out of the sideboard for like 32 damage. So he thought I was playing Tess, which really screwed up his sideboard strategy. He told me that after the match. But he's on like turn three,
mm-hmm.
and he's set up his graveyard, it looks like. Like he's struggling, but he finally last turn got a Grave Troll in his graveyard. He dredged. He did not hit any more dredgers, but now he has a Grave Troll in hand. So he cast Lion's Eye Diamond. He casts Breakthrough. I pause. He says, responses. I say, it resolves. He says, in response, sack Lion's Eye Diamond. I couldn't call a judge quick enough. The judge came over, and he said, what's the problem? I said, my opponent cast Breakthrough. He said, responses. I waited. And I said, it resolves. He said, okay, in response, sack Lion's Eye Diamond. And the judge had to inform him that if he has to hold priority to do such things.
Yeah. Which is correct.
Which is correct. And I knew that because I played Dredge. He apparently didn't know that. So he drew four cards, then he discarded his hand and had a land and a Lion's Eye Diamond. So he never got Dredge rolling.
Sure.
Because if he would have discarded his hand in response and Grave Trolled the first one, and probably he would have probably dredged 20 cards or better and sure. just killed me. You have to hold priority when you want to do these things.
Yes, you do.
So that was great for me. I won the game because of that mistake. That's it. Because seriously, 24 cards. If he dredges 24 cards, assume he hits the Grave Trolls in succession.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just probably dead to a Flamekins.
Oh yeah.
Like, game's probably over. Yeah. Then I played Shardless, lost. Played Shardless. Shardless has everything you could want to beat Belcher. So Shardless got beat. Something else. I don't know. I ended up 5-4. I beat Merfolk in round 9 to be 5-4. It was the best. I looked at my opening hand. I played all the cards, and I won.
Yeah.
Game 2, I Gitaxian probed him. Game 2, he started with Wasteland Pithing Needle. And he said, Charbelcher. I was like, oh, that's bad for me. Gitaxian probe looked at his hand. He had a bunch of creatures mm-hmm. and an Echoing Truth, but not another land. So I just went for it. I made 16 goblin tokens, looked him right in the eyes. I was like, boy, I hope you don't draw a blue source. He drew, it wasn't a blue source. I put him at 4, passed back, he drew, it was another creature, and I won the game.
Awesome.
Like, just luck sometimes gets you there. But no, that was my GP experience. It was a good experience.
Wait, tell us the Simian Spirit God story.
Oh no, I almost forgot. So Simian Spirit God,
uh-huh.
2 colorless, 1 red, 2/2. Exile it, remove it from your hand, add a red mana to your mana pool.
Sure.
That's what it's always used for. I played against Storm in like round 6 when the dream was still alive, when sure. I still thought I had a shot at day 2. And my opponent goes first turn, ritual, stuff, I win. And I was like, you won. Well, I'm on the play game 2. And I'm like, okay, cards, Belcher, I win. He's like, well, these are interactive games of Magic. I was like, you're not wrong.
As Dr. Richard Garfield intended.
Yes. So game 3, he opens up with Swamp, Ritual, Duress. Takes a card out of my hand. Ritual, Cabal Therapy. Hits 2 more cards out of my hand. So now I'm sitting there with like 4 cards in hand going, well, this ain't good. He does all of his Ad Nauseam Tendril stuff.
Uh-huh.
He plays Ad Nauseam and goes to 2 life, but he didn't hit a tutor.
Uh-oh.
So he had to discard to hand size and pass turn. and I drew a Lotus Petal. I was down to 3 cards in hand by the time all this shenanigans was over.
Okay.
I drew a Lotus Petal. My hand, when he passed turn, was Simeon Spirit Guide, Rite of Flame, Paretic Ritual. I drew a Lotus Petal. I played Lotus Petal, and I said, 1 red. He's like, okay. I was like, Rite of Flame. He's like, okay. I was like, 2 red? He's like, yeah. It's like, Paretic Ritual, 3 red? He's like, sure. I was like, Simeon Spirit Guide? He's like, 4 red? I was like, no. I cast him. He's like, what? I was like, I cast him. He's like, he looked over at his left and he's like, oh no.
I know where that's going.
But he drew and he just didn't have a red. He didn't have any way to produce red left. The only way he could get things started was with a ponder. And he couldn't produce enough mana. He couldn't get past the flames online. He had to ponder. He had to tap the volcanic island to ponder, which left him without a red. I thank him for this opportunity. He did pass back and let me attack with the Simeon Spirit Guide. I mean, you can't ask for a nicer gun than that.
Yeah.
So,
what an honorable opponent.
Maybe he thought I wouldn't attack or something. I forgot how it worked. But no, he kind of laughed. He's like, go, just kill me with the ape. I was like, okay, attack. So Simeon Spirit Guide beat down for the win. Out of Boucher. I mean, sometimes you win that way. And, you know, always look for your outs, right?
Exactly.
I had 4 cards in hand, and typically that's not a real card. That's a red mana that happens once. But play your outs. He went to 2, and it was the only way I could think to win the game. So, man, GP Columbus was a hoot, though. It was a great time. If you have not drafted Eternal Masters, we need to draft Eternal Masters.
All
right. One of the pods we drafted, 3 people drafted Black-Green Elves.
Oh, no.
All 3 decks were good. Like, it was, we all drafted different versions of Black Green Elves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we all 4 were like at least 2-1 or better out of the, I mean, it's broken.
Yeah. So, I haven't been able to draft Eternal Masters, but, I stopped at the store once and they were in the middle of one. And I got to watch our honorary founding member of the B team, John Cummings.
Yes.
In an Eternal Masters draft with some of the locals. And he's going through, it's pack 1, and in his pack is I think it's a Shaman of the Pack, and a Wiredwood Symbiote.
Ooh.
And, like, something, other stuff. And he's like, huh, okay, alright. He takes the Shaman.
Yeah.
And passes the Symbiote.
Yep. That is a clear telegraphed message. You're not in Elves.
Right. And so, another player, 2 seats down, sees the Wiredwood Symbiote and says, Elves is open, I'm doing it.
Yep.
Slams the Wiredwood, passes. The draft goes on, and the 2 of them are hating each other off of Elves. But, because the other person got the Symbiote, she ended up getting more Shamans in the pack. And so she was able to have a better Elves deck. And poor John was left with this pile of cards that really didn't do much. It had Elves in it. But outside of that, it was just like, I played a 1-1 for 1.
Yeah.
I played 2 1-1s for 1.
Oh, jeez.
Woo!
So, in our draft, one guy had 2 natural orders and some creatures to go get. He opened a foil one, and I guess somebody passed him one, or maybe he lucked out and opened 2. I had no rares in my deck. But I played all the cards that are like, when you cast an elf, put a 1-1 in play. And when an elf comes into play, put a 1-1 counter. So I went wide and a couple creatures tall. And the other guy went the black-green shaman route. And I lost to him.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I
played a weird blue-green tempo deck that I played. People kept passing me, like, memory lapse. And I was like, I mean, I guess. And we drafted the box weird. And so we were going to draft all of the rares out of it afterwards. So people weren't, like, money drafting while we were drafting. So we were going to have, like, a real draft. So, a foil Force of Will got opened and almost tabled, and I was like, I'll take it. Like, I guess.
How do you table Force of Will? Like, that's just good.
I mean, it's not great in draft.
Is it better than Control Magic?
Control Magic? Probably not.
Okay.
I mean, like, you have to have, like, you have to discard a card for it, just to counter, like, a 2-2 for 3 or some shenanigans like that.
But still, like, even, like, so Eternal Masters is the closest we're going to get to a, like, a sealed,
like, cube,
right? Yeah. So, like, the power level, the ridiculousness of it is, like, a couple notches above a normal draft.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you kind of do want Force of Will just to be like...
I also don't think anybody was in blue. I think the only other blue player was on the other side of the table. But I took it. I don't think I played it, though. I just, like, set it next to me while I played, and I was just like, this is me, guys.
Yeah, I did it. At the GP in Columbus, somebody bought a Chinese or Japanese pack of Eternal Masters from a vendor, stood right there at the vendor, opened the pack, pulled a foil Japanese Force of Will, and sold it back to the vendor for $550. I was like, that's like a scratch-off ticket. Like, just look, I did it. I won. Whew.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we all belong to a Facebook group, and some of the pulls people have been getting has just sort of made me sick, and they made me not want to open up any Eternal Masters. Like, I've opened, like, 5 packs of the stuff, haven't pulled a single thing worth of anything. Like, my best pull has been a maze of it.
So, I'm going to tell you a secret right now.
All
right. And you may have seen some of these pictures posted on Facebook making the circles. And I've talked to one of the guys that took some of these pictures, where they opened a foil Force of Will as their foil. And then they opened, like, a Wasteland or something, a Maze of It, not a Maze of It, a Mana Vault as their rare. Then all of their uncommons are like Power Blast, whatever. They're just money cards.
Yeah.
And then you look at the commons and you're like, all those cards are like super playable. Well, it wasn't one pack. They just took cards out of their box and made it look like a pack and took pictures. Like, look, I opened a pack worth $200.
Jerks.
Yeah, it's funny though. Like watching people's reaction to like, oh my goodness, that's the dream pack. Yeah, that would be a dream pack. They don't make them like that.
No, it's impossible.
So. If anybody was paying attention, they'd probably notice a print run. I don't know. You know, with regular sets, you open 40 boxes of Shadows drafting or whatever.
Yeah.
And you start to notice common print run patterns. Probably won't do Eternal Masters to notice that there's no way those cards could have all been in the same pack. But it's pretty funny. I like trolling people.
Also, a note on Eternal Masters. The what is that card called? It's like the Flag Bearer or something like that. That card's dumb.
The one that has to be targeted?
Yes. I think once put on the give a creature like +3/+3 and like make an elephant, I was like gonna put it on a flyer. I was like, we're gonna beat down now. And he was just like, this goes here. And I was like,
yeah, it targets my standard bearer.
Dang it. Alright, and so I had like a roots or something like that. So I was like, we'll put that on it then. And then like 8 turns later, I try to put another, like, elephant guide thing on something else, and then I forgot it was still on the table. I was like, that's twice.
Do you even pay attention?
I mean, it was covered by, like, 4 enchantments at that point. He also tried to put a pacifism on one of my guys and had to put it on his flag bearer. So, that card's dumb.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was just, like, a really long game, so I think we both forgot that it had, like, been on the table, because it was just, like, 8 turns of, like, land go.
Yeah.
Or land, like, attack, block. All right, I gained, like, 4 life on my upkeep because he had, like, the shrines. And I was like, this is the dumbest game of Magic I've ever played.
You haven't played Green Red Ramp in Standard, then.
Oh, I have.
Shoot. Now, there was a PPTQ yesterday that I played in. And my opponent was playing blue-red, not ramp. But
it's the blue-red Eldrazi control deck.
Yeah. He did a bad job with the control part, but he did a good job with the Eldrazi part. Between the two of us, if you count a turn cycle, like I go, you go is one, I go, you go is two. In 3 turn cycles, we cast 6 Ulamogs. I cast one, he cast one. I cast one, he cast one. I cast one, he cast one. I cast one. Oh, we cast 7. He didn't cast number 4, so I won. That's how easy it is.
That's generally how those things work out.
Yeah. And I am still undefeated in games with green-red ramp, in which I have cast Ulamog. Whether or not it resolves, just casting it.
Oh, sure, yeah.
I mean, that's generally how you win.
I mean, not Ulamog, Kozilek.
Oh, Kozilek.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I run 1 main deck Kozilek, and it typically says draw 6 or 7 cards. It's like, okay, I drew 7.
And if it sticks, it's just...
If it sticks...
You just throw ramp spells, it's kind of spells.
You do. You have 3-mana ramp spells, 4-mana ramp spells. You have the 1-mana offshoots and Oaths of Nissa by that point that are useless.
Mm-hmm.
So you're countering their 1-manas, you're countering their 3s, 4s. I have thrown a Ulamog to counter an Ulamog. So...
Understandable.
I mean, you still get the cash trigger, but... No, I mean, it's pretty good. All of a sudden, Hedron Archive counters Gideon. So, which has happened twice, but it's a good card. It's a one of. Never more than a one of.
No, it should never be more than a one of.
So, misplays that we can learn from. Two of them from the PPTQ yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. The first one, I play a land pass. He plays a land pass. He plays a 1-2 investigate guy. Whatever its name. I play a land pass. He plays a pacifist. My turn. So I have a spectral procession or whatever in hand. Not the anthrac card. The one that gives it.
That's definitely not the right card.
The one that gives it. +3/-3. The one that exiles a card.
Oh, yeah, Warping Whale.
With power 1 or less. Yeah.
Warping Whale.
So I have the option on my turn to play my land, cast Warping Whale, and get rid of his investigator creature. 1-2 that investigates.
The Thraven Inspector.
Thraven Inspector.
Mm-hmm. Inspector Gadget.
I have that option. But I think to myself, I can pass turn back if he plays Thalia's Lieutenant to put a counter on his creatures. I can get rid of the Lieutenant before it gets out of control. Well, there's a flaw in that plan.
Oh?
Yeah. Called the pacifist is about to flip.
Yeah, you have to cast spells.
So I didn't cast the spell. I passed turn back. He's like, pacifist flips. I was like, uh-oh. So getting rid of that Thalia's Lieutenant really wasn't worth anything. I died quickly thereafter. So 2/5/5 pacifist, just bringing the heat.
Yeah, I think it would be like the same thing, even if he played it with Thalia's.
Yeah, It was a misplay. It was a very bad misplay. Because I could have got rid. I mean, it would have been one less damage. I don't know if he would have played the same.
Well, so if you get rid of the Thraben Inspector on your turn,
the pacifist doesn't flip
and can't attack.
Yeah, yeah. But I guess if he's, like, because he's still going to play the Thraben, the Thalia's Lieutenant, he can attack with the pacifist anyway. So
But the question is, does he change his line of play to get more value out of the left?
Probably not.
Okay.
You probably just want an attack ramp, especially for 4.
But it would have been a little bit different because it would have been a 5-turn clock instead of a 4-turn clock.
Yeah, so, I mean, you definitely want to maximize your ability to get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that at one extra turn could have made the difference.
The one extra turn could have allowed me to cast Kozel extra turn on instep. Untap into Worldbreaker.
Yeah.
Or Ulamog or something. Probably Worldbreaker.
Probably.
Wipe the board, hit a land. Yeah. They're very landline anyway.
Wasn't this the game that you also had, you kept the hand of, like, Triple Shrine and had no colored source?
Let me think.
Because I think that was what you said that you misplayed, yes. But it said it didn't matter because you didn't draw another land.
No, it wouldn't have mattered in the end. I wouldn't have actually drawn, so I kept a greedy hand. It was Triple Shrine, Ramp Spell, this removal spell, other ramp spell, Ulamog or something, or Worldbreaker. I don't remember what the 7th card was. The other card was Kozel Extra Turn. So I had all these cards that did all these things except no colored mana. And I was like, 18 hits, baby. We're going for it. First forest was like 12 cards deep.
Oh, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't have mattered, but I didn't know the order of my deck at the point. I still need to make the most optimal play, and I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
No, it wouldn't have been. But I didn't make the most optimal play, and that's why that one sticks in my craw a little bit. The other play, have y'all ever played against the deck that is not Seasons Past, but you pick up all your permanents, you shuffle everything together.
The Great Aurora?
Oh my god. Just shoot me. Anyway, I was like, I don't know what he's doing. We're both just playing all these ramp spells. He's like, Great Aurora. I'm like, I don't know what he's doing. Okay. So he played all of his land, and then he cast 2 8/5s with haste and put me at 4. And that was bad.
It's generally not good.
So into his turn, I cast Kozel extra turn. Didn't kill anything. I untapped and tapped, because I put all my land in play 2. So I cast Worldbreaker and Ulamog. I was like, I did it. And that's fine, except he cast the freaking card again. So he untaps, he draws, and he cast another Great Aurora. And I'm like, well, I'm dead, I guess. But he didn't hit anything.
Okay.
He played a bunch of land.
Sure.
Two of which are Kozel, or not Kozel extra turn, two of which are the land that he can sack and make 2 flying tokens.
Yeah.
Which is fine. So, end of his turn, cast another Kozel extra turn. Okay? I think he sacked one of the land. I untap, put some stuff in play that didn't matter, like a Tarka to put him on a clock, Hedron Archives to try to draw some cards. He untaps, plays his 3rd land that puts 2 1/1s in play, and I can't let these 1/1s survive, or I'm just dead.
Right.
Like, I'm at 4. So he didn't sack anything. He passed turn back. I assume he's going to chump, or he might chump. So I attack with the Tarka. I have Ulamog in hand, and I have a plan. And this plan is cast Ulamog and pop both of those land with it. He's probably going to sack him for tokens. But that's okay, because I have the Kozilek return that's going to come back. I stacked them in the wrong order.
Uh-oh.
Yep. So, and the way I do it is I put the spell there, I pull the cards out of the group. So, you know, I physically make a stack. Like, here's the cards. And I didn't realize it until he, you know, it's like, is that, that's your trigger order? Yes, that's my trigger order. The cash trigger is nonverbal. I mean, it's not represented by a card. So I was like, you know, put Kozilek's return, cash trigger, target those two. Well, I assume that I'm hitting the two land. You want to pop them, that's fine. This Kozilek's return is going to go off for 5 and wipe the board. So that's fine. They're all dead either way. The ruling that I, you know, was I needed to make that more clear, and the way that I did it wasn't clear enough because I cast the Ulamog and been like cash trigger and then laid the Kozilek's return on it. Mm-hmm. Instead of play the Ulamog, put the Kozilek's return on it and be like, here's my cash trigger also. Like,
right,
they
right.
can be stacked differently, and yep, lost the game.
That's rough.
Game over. So, I guess I just need to be more clear on my triggers. Oh, that was hard. Like, that's a hard lesson.
Yeah.
That was, because I knew what I wanted to do.
Right.
But I wasn't communicating well with my opponent.
Right. Yeah, I had a similar situation a while back. I was playing in a modern PT, and I was playing, like, Tiny Zoo, Burning Tree Emissary Zoo.
Oh, literal. Little.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm dumping my hand on turn two and saying, what you got?
Yeah.
Playing a guy playing elves, and I was attacking for lethal every turn at this point in the game.
Mm-hmm.
He found an Azuri.
It's a good card.
Yeah, yeah, cast it. And I'm like, well, this is going to serve as a problem. Because now he can regenerate his entire board and just, like, infinitely chump me until he finds something, or hopefully I find some burn. And so I attack, he makes his blocks, I'm like, go to damage? And he was like, yeah. I'm like, okay, so that dies, and this dies. Because I'm attacking with 2/2s and 3/3s, he has 1/1s. And he was like, whoa, I want to regenerate that. I was like, you can't do that. Sorry, like, called the judge, you know, hey, we went to combat, I asked for damage, he said okay, and then he tried to regenerate things, and now his whole board's gone because out of order sequencing. Like,
yeah.
Obviously his intent was to regenerate beforehand, but at competitive REL.
Yeah, he was probably, like, wanting you to, like, do something. I don't know if he had any cards in hand or anything like that.
Yeah, like, I'm not gonna attack his command when he's chump blocking my stuff.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, you know, hey, go to damage. Like,
yeah, that's,
are we...
It's generally a problem. It's like people want to wait as long as possible before, like, using an ability,
yeah,
or,
well, sometimes it's
casting
too late.
A card, and then they realize, then they don't realize it's too late to cast that.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So always be clear with your intentions. Always make sure that you take some time, take a little bit of effort to make sure that everything you want to do is done in the proper order.
Yeah. Well, speaking of intentions, I had a judge call yesterday, and I still feel bad about it. Because I didn't realize that competitive, it's PPTQ, that marked cards were an automatic game loss.
Yes.
Like, unintentionally marked cards. Like, these are like, me and my opponent are playing these same sleeves. Unintentionally marked cards. I really honestly don't think he was trying to get any advantage, but he had Avacyn in a sleeve, a dark sleeve, but under the light, you could see the reflector symbol, like at the bottom, the anti-copy symbol, through the sleeve. So I called the judge over, knowing that there's either a Westfeld Abbey or an Avacyn right there on top of his deck.
Right.
And the judge is like, oh, that's bad. Game loss. I was like, what? I appealed the judge's ruling. And the judge is like, no. The head judge is like, no, sorry. It's in the IPG. It's official policy. This is a game loss every time. And I'm like, I am so sorry, man. Like, I didn't realize this was a game loss. And he was a super nice guy. He was very upset about this. And the judge was like, you know, you need to buy new sleeves, or you need to buy checklist cards. You need to do something. And he started getting upset when they kept saying the word buy. Like, you need to buy things.
Yeah.
He's telling him how much he's already spent on his deck and whatever. So I told the guy that was running the store, I was like, just bring them to me, put them on my bill, I will pay for them. Because this is not going in the right direction. We are all about to get in a fight here. Everything got fixed and worked out, but I think, unfortunately, it probably ruined the rest of that event for him.
Yeah.
It put a little damper on my experience, but,
you know. Because after that, he didn't draw lands, did he?
Well, then we went to game 2, And he mulled to 5, kept a hand with 1 land, didn't play land for 3 or 4 turns, and I blew his land up with a Worldbreaker. So
yeah,
he wasn't having a good time.
Yep. So if that was, it was probably his first tournament. And
it wasn't. That's the bad part.
Yeah, I've been in similar situations, and I've been on the receiving
end. As a judge or a player?
As a player.
Okay.
Where I've been on the receiving end of, like, silly calls that could have been easily avoided that are clearly my fault.
Yeah.
Right? Like, for example, is at Standard States, going into top 8, there's the deck check.
Yeah.
And that morning, I had... I didn't know what cards I was going to be using in my sideboard because I needed to buy some from the store that we were playing at. And I didn't know what they would have in stock. So I just, like, grabbed a bunch of stuff to make sure that I'd have 15 cards, at least somewhat usable cards for my sideboard.
Yeah.
Even if it wasn't the exact list. Well, they had the cards I wanted, so I just had the extra cards in my deck box.
Oh.
And when it came time to deck check, they were like, you have extra cards. You have unregistered cards in your deck box, and they're all standard legal.
Yeah.
And I was like... Well, I mean, I explained what happened. Like, I bought cards this morning. I haven't played with them. They've been just sitting there.
Yeah.
And he was like, that's fine. That, you know, but I still have to give you a game loss. So
yeah.
I got to start my top 8 with a game loss.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Thankfully, that ended up working out in my favor a little bit. But still, like, you just got to take your licks and learn from the mistakes. Like,
yeah.
To this day, like, you will never catch me having, like, other cards other than my... deck and my sideboard and tokens in my deck box.
So I am very good at losing games of Magic, like with my playability. I don't need to lose games because of silly little things.
Yeah. Procedural errors are the worst.
I'm okay losing games. I'm comfortable losing games because I get outplayed.
I think we all are.
I'm okay losing because, you know, it's sealed and my pool's not great and you have 2 Gideons. Yeah. Yeah. That happened. GP Atlanta. That's rough. That's where I play Tom
Ross.
That's
why I can't play it. I can't play Sealed.
Yeah.
Like.
It Sealed's a lot of fun if you open 2 Gideon Pool.
Oh, I'm sure.
Sealed
I'm sure it's a blast.
Sealed is less fun if you open just trash. But usually you open a pretty average pool.
Yeah.
And it's a great time.
I played in a Team Sealed event once. And I believe we had 2 Life's Legacy.
Was it Nashville?
Yes.
Okay.
GP Nashville. I can't remember what set was that? M15, I think?
No, that was Cons.
No,
Life's Legacy is in 15.
Yeah, it was
M15. No, I'm saying, like, GP Nashville was Cons block.
Oh, well, this was Team Sealed in for M15. No, it was a Classic in Knoxville.
Yeah, no, it was the 5K they held.
Yeah.
Team Sealed 5K.
That's right. And they had, so our Sealed pool was 2 Life's Legacy, 2... we had, like, 4 of the pain lands, and then, like, 2 other crappy cards, and we were like, this is awful. We started out 3-0, though, so my deck was insane, because I had, like, 2 of the, I had, like, the evoke cards that were, like, evoke for make 3 spirits.
Oh, yeah.
And then I had the one that makes the, like, the 3-3 beast or something like that.
Yeah.
And I would just curve out, and people would go, like, 1 drop, this guy. Turn 2, raise the alarm. Turn 3, spirits. Turn 4, beasts. And people have just conceived to that, apparently.
So, guys, I'm gonna flash way back real quick.
Okay.
I feel like we have misled anybody that's still listening an hour into this podcast.
Probably not.
When we tell you we're very bad at Magic and we're good at losing games, we should preface that.
Okay.
We play in a lot of events.
Yeah.
I don't play FNM. I don't play during the week anymore. I play a lot online. So far, in the last 3 weeks, I've been to an Open, a GP, and played a PPTQ.
Yeah.
So, we play in a lot of events. This year, I've day-2'd 2 Grand Prix. Alex, you won States. You got Chris got 2nd at the Open in Atlanta.
Yeah, in October.
In October,
like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, we may not be the best, but we're probably not the worst.
We are the definition of medium.
We are, yeah.
That's why we're on the B team.
We're medium.
We serve a purpose.
We're like the 6th man off the bench.
Yep.
Like, I just started realizing we keep talking about Grand Prix. So I was at this Grand Prix doing this. I was at that Grand Prix. I was at this Open. Yeah, we play a lot of events.
Yeah.
So maybe take that into account. Just that probably should have went at the beginning. Like,
we're competitive players who want to get better.
That's pretty much
it. Yeah.
I also need to say, I've day-2'd 2 events this year. I've played in day 2-0 times.
It's a pattern with you.
Yeah. The first time I was traveling with some people and it was just time to go home.
Yep.
You've had that experience. You're like, nope, time to go home. I'm the only one that day 2'd, so I don't feel bad. Let's go. The other event, the wife was with me, and she was like, so you think we'll be home by noon? I was like, well, I made day 2. She's like, well, you said we'd be home by noon. I was like, yeah, we'll be home by noon. Yep. So that was the end of that day 2 dream. That was the GP in Charlotte. It was like, well, 7-2 be damned. Let's go home. But it is what it is. So in my 20 hours a week that I can sort of dedicate to Magic, and a lot of that time is driving a car and shenanigans, where I have to listen to podcasts and think about Magic because sure. I can't play, I can't do anything, I drive a car. I come up with questions like the one I posed to you all last week.
Okay.
Jund is one of the best decks in Modern. Yep. Alex, you played a lot. Can you rebuild Jund in such a manner that it's still Jund colors? Mm-hmm. It's not an aggro deck, because you can make a Jund aggro deck pretty easily.
Yep.
And you can make Jund burn if you really want to. Can you make it a non-aggro deck, so still a mid-range or control deck, that uses very minimal cards? You can use anything in the mana base you want.
Sure.
But you can only reuse, say, 3 cards in the deck. So if you reuse Lightning Bolt, you can use 4 bolts. Or Bob, you can use 4 Bobs.
Sure.
And Liliana, mm-hmm. 4 Lilianas. That's 12 cards total, 3 mm-hmm. different names. You can only reuse 3 different named cards, sure. 1-4 in the deck.
Okay.
How do you rebuild Jund in such a manner it's still competitive in Modern?
So my answer as the Jund player, you can't.
Why?
Because Jund playability and success is based off its sheer efficiency and power level of its cards. Because Jund's normal strategy is, I'm going to deny you resources, and then basically say, the top of my deck, on average, is going to be more powerful than any one card you draw off the top of your deck.
Mm-hmm.
So when you draw a Mana Leak on turn 8, and I draw a Tarmogoyf on turn 8, and we both have like 7-6 lands in play, my Goyf beats that.
Yeah.
Right? And when I play my Goyf, you're on, like, 4 cards as your outs.
Okay.
Before you die.
But with the Ancestral Vision mid-range decks coming up, the Temur Goyf Bolt Visions decks.
Sure.
It's a real deck.
Yeah.
It causes problems.
It does.
For Jund. It causes problems for burn a little bit. It causes problems for a lot of things when it goes Suspend Visions, Goyf, and then just blows its hand. It's like, let's kill everything you got. Draw 3 cards.
Sure.
I feel like that matchup versus Jund is sort of skewed toward the Temur deck.
Oh, it is. Normally, my experience has been any deck that tries to, that successfully resolves an Ancestral Vision, beats Jund. Because I can't deny you resources when you're just like, I drew 3 cards.
So that's kind of where this question stems from.
Uh-huh.
And my thought process is, if you take Bob out of the deck, you don't worry about the mana cost of the creature so much.
Right.
And now I'm looking for a way to draw cards. So I'm automatically cutting Bob, but I need a way to draw cards.
Yeah.
And if you're going to draw 3 cards off of Visions, what do? I need to draw at least 3 cards to keep up, in my opinion.
Right.
So I started looking for ways to do these things. The first thing I did was, you know, your typical Jund hand disruptions about 6 cards.
Yeah.
2 Thoughtseize, 4 Inquisition. Well, I like that. So let's stay with that thought process, but I don't want to play Thoughtseize. I want to play Duress. Play Duress and Inquisition because, again, I'm trying to use very minimal cards. Thoughtseize might be better, but Duress is going to be better in the burn matchup, and I'm skewing the whole deck a little slower to make up for the changes I'm making. So I don't want to take the 2 damage in some of the aggro matchups.
Okay.
My replacement for drawing cards is I put in a couple Phyrexian Arenas, and I put in the Gitrog monster.
I don't like this.
You don't like this?
No.
Okay, I'm going to keep going, because this turned into Jund control.
Okay.
Lightning Bolts stayed in the deck, because it's Lightning Bolt.
Uh-huh.
A couple Damnations became in the deck.
Sure.
Tarmogoyf is on that weird point where it's like it would be the 4th card that I kept.
Uh-huh.
So it's either Liliana or Tarmogoyf. So I considered breaking my rules a little bit. I feel like I really need both. So I cut Tarmogoyf. I know, just, you can punch me in the face later. It was part of the thought experiment. Not that you should cut Tarmogoyf out of Jund, that is wrong. But it's part of the thought experiment. Can I play a Jund colored deck? This does not look like Jund does at all anymore. Now it's Jund control. So Damnations came in.
Yeah.
Because I'm slower now. Sure. I would really like to go turn 3 Phyrexian Arena, or turn 1 removal, turn 2 removal, turn 3 Phyrexian Arena, turn 4 Damnation. I'm also playing a 1-up Haunting Echoes. I just got a funny look from both of the guys here. So I'll tell you what Haunting Echoes does. Let me pull it up on Gatherer. Here it is. So Haunting Echoes is 5-mana sorcery. Exile all cards from target player's graveyard other than basic land cards. For each card exiled this way, search that player's library for all cards with the same name as them. That player shuffles their library. So this card, you know, you don't want to necessarily play it on turn 5. You probably want to draw it about turn 12 if you have actually attritioned them to death like you're hoping you did. You know, they've fetched. You've used some of your land to blow up some of their land. And you just take all the cards out of their deck. Yeah, you're giving me a really bad look. So it's one of my pet cards. I love this card.
Were you high?
No. I just really like this card. So the creatures, you know, I get to play Tassigers. I get to play Anglers. And I get to play Gitrog Monsters. So all of my creatures are like 5, 6, 7 mana, 8 mana, 10 mana. Who knows? You're lucky I didn't put a Nightmare in the deck just for fun. But there weren't enough swamps to support it.
Terrible.
I might have put a Worldbreaker in there. No, I'm just kidding. But what do you think? Is this a path Jund colors could go down because the deck no longer represents anything Jund does now?
No.
No.
No, it cannot.
Why?
So
it, and what do you think about my card selection outside of Haunting Echoes, because I know it's a silly card?
So the problems I'm seeing with, even if everything pans out the way you want it to, you'll run into the same problem that, like, Grixis mid-range and Grixis control has, where they have a really good end game, but they still do have a really hard time trying to kill someone, right? Grixis can grind out any other deck in the format extremely well, but they're very easy to prey on because sometimes it's just like, well, I didn't find my Tassigar or Gurmag Angler till like, turn 10. And then it's
good there.
Right. And so you're giving your opponent too many chances of finding outs to whatever you're doing.
And Modern's full of those. Like, Modern's a format where you kind of have to end the game and...
You need to close the door.
Like, quick. Like, you can't be like, I'm going to beat you down with, like... I didn't even think Gurmag Angler was, like, all that great unless it's, like, on turn, like, 3.
Right.
Because you're going to spend, like, all these turns and, like... And it's going to take, like, 4 turns and your opponent can just, like, kill you with an infect creature or... Find the couple burn spells they were missing to kill you. Like, it's so easy to just randomly die in Modern.
Yeah.
I think mid-range decks like that are, like, really hard to win with.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason Jund's successful is because it has an early clock with Dark Confidants and Gois.
As a Jund player, the games where I go turn 1, Hand Disruption, turn 2, Goyf or Bob, turn 3, Lily, I don't lose.
Okay.
Because the amount of threats I'm proposing to my opponent while disrupting them for a lot of decks is just too much to handle.
So with the build I was going for, I was looking for maximum 2-for-1 value. Damnation, okay. Probably a 2-for-1.
Yeah.
Phyrexian Arena, probably getting 2 cards out of it.
Unless they play a Nahirian Exile.
Unless they play a Nahirian or a Dromoka's Commander. I mean, there are ways to deal with it, and that's fine. That's what the Thought Seizes and stuff were for.
You don't play Thought Seize, Joe.
You're right. That's what the Duresses were for. Hang on. Yeah, Duress gets both of those, right? Did it. But probably get 2 cards out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Gitrog Monster. Probably going to make you blow a removal spell.
But cost 6.
It's cost 5.
Oh, it costs 5. Okay, cost 5 mana. Argument still stands.
Definitely going to sack a land or 2 to draw more cards.
Gitrog Monster.
The card's not that bad. I really think if you play it on turn 6...
No, it's bad.
No, it is.
It's bad.
Why is it bad?
So... Again, the format for Modern is just simply too fast, right? Like, take, for example, which card is better, in your opinion, just on raw power? Archangel Avacyn or the Gitrog Monster?
You know I'm going to say Gitrog Monster just because.
Okay, so I think Archangel Avacyn is a much more powerful card.
It's the wrong color. It's white.
Yeah, ignore that. Okay. Just on power level alone.
Yeah.
All things being the same. Everything else being the same.
Mm-hmm.
I feel Archangel Avacyn is a much more powerful thing. It has evasion.
Mm-hmm.
It has vigilance.
Yes.
So it's defensive as well as offensive.
Mm-hmm.
It has, if you can flip it, it's even better. because it's a self-contained board wipe.
Yeah.
And it has flash.
Yeah.
Right? That card sees minimal play in Modern. And even then, when you do...
Does it see any?
It does. It sees just a tiny bit of play.
Why?
Like, the green-white tokens deck that came up at JPLA plays it. BBD's Abzan deck plays two copies of it.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, minimal play
by
high competing pros, right?
Okay.
But the reason why it doesn't see more play, as awesome as a standard all-star that it is, like, the card's just bonkers, right?
Oh, yeah. It's okay.
But the reason it doesn't see play in Modern is because it just costs too much.
Okay.
Like, I would love to be slamming Archangel Ivesons in my control deck, but I can't because it costs 5 mana.
But I feel like, in the right shell, 5 mana, especially in a heavy disruption, abrupt decay field, because let's take the restrictions away. Okay. Let's just say Jund plus 2 Gitrog Monster.
Okay.
How many games do you go to the point where you have 8 or 9 land in play and you're looking for gas? How many games do you attack with one of your creatures, your man lands, and it does?
I mean, that it happens often.
Okay, it happens often. Well, you attack with your man land, they waste a removal spell on it, it dies, and you draw a card. Okay.
Yeah, but you're also sacking lands every upkeep to begin with.
I'm not suggesting you play it on turn 5, I'm suggesting you play it on, like, turn 12.
You want to...
It is the backup plan for
the... You want a dead card in your hand.
No, I want a dead card in my deck that I draw later.
That's not how things work, Joe.
Hey, I need official honorary member John
Cummings
here.
There's been a lot of times where I've been playing Infect when I've just been like, I have like 6 lands right now. It'd be really cool if I just drew like a...
A Gitrog monster
or anything. Master Biomancer, that'd be cool in Infect.
So I firmly believe that decks in Modern are good because of their efficiency. Burn is good because it's extremely efficient with its mana. Infect is good because it's extremely efficient with its mana. Affinity is good because it's ridiculously efficient with its mana.
They don't use mana.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right? Jund...
Belcher's efficient with its mana, too. Just throwing that out there. Sorry, guys. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry I played that. Anyway, sorry.
Like, Jund is good because it's efficient with its mana. So when you choose to play non-efficient cards...
It's an efficient card late game.
No.
Sack Tectonic Edge, destroy your man land, draw a card.
You can't...
And it has a big body you have to deal with.
The cost you pay for putting this card into your deck is too high because there are too many chances that it's just going to be dead for the entire game. If you play, again, if the majority of the field you expect to play is going to be linear aggressive decks, Gitrog Monster is the literal worst thing you could ever decide to put in your deck. Because for the majority of the time, you're going to be dead before you could ever hope to cast it. On 5.
Well, you are playing Jund. You're still disrupting them the same way. I'm saying now, what if we only change one card? What if we only put in 1 or 2 Gitrog Monsters? Can the card fit into the current Jund shell?
If you want to put it anywhere, it's got to be sideboard. Like, I could see bringing in sideboard against, like, Jeskai or something like that. And then other control decks or the mirror.
Jeskai's going to path it.
Right.
So it's not a sideboard.
So
card
it's bad.
Oh my god!
You joined us, Jeff. Welcome to the good side.
No, so Jeskai paths it, but paths very strong against Jund anyway because you have what, 12 threats?
Well,
and they have 8 paths with Snapcasters.
But again, how are you? Okay, so against any of the decks where you're going to go long in the game, right? So that's other mid range decks,
yes,
like the Mirror or Abzan or Mardu. Then there are the control decks, so Jeskai, Grixis, right? Those are the ones that you'd want something like this because you're actually going to hit turn 8, 9, 10 plus.
Yes.
Right? But all those decks, you're not going to resolve a 5 mana spell against them because the way these...
What about the mirror? Can it not be a mirror breaker? It's bigger than the average Tarmogoyf and it lets you draw extra cards without taking damage off your bobs.
But if you're still... Like, that means you're not playing bobs to begin with. Otherwise, you're taking 5 off...
You play Tassigur with Bob?
You play one Tasker, and different.
You play one Gitrog monster. It probably draws you as many cards as the Tasker would. Tasker probably gets you one.
And that's less mana efficient.
But.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Joe.
So, even if you...
Okay, listen to this scenario.
Okay.
We're playing the Jund matchup.
All right. We're in Magical Christmas
Land. We're in Magical Christmas Land with Joe. And I play my 10th land, and I have 5 uncracked fetches.
Beware.
Okay, so at that point, you don't have fetchable lands left in your deck, Joe.
No, I do. Trust me, I just think... I don't. No. Well, let's pretend I do, because it doesn't matter. So I just play Gitrog Monster and draw 5 new cards.
You also don't even have to have fetchable lands. You also just get to draw cards on it.
Yeah, so I just drew 5 cards.
Whether there's a target or not.
Assume, you also just took 5 damage, so thanks for that.
But I drew 5 cards.
It's like Painful Truth, except more efficient.
Weren't you criticizing and saying Painful Truth should have been in my rebuild of Jund?
Yeah, actually, it should have, because...
Well, this is like Painful Truth in that situation.
And it's a 6-6 death touch body.
Or if there are no more fetchable lands, you just sack them during your upkeep, one by one, and don't take any damage and draw 2 cards.
Listeners, I am being trolled so hard right now, and it's taking all of my willpower not to come across this table.
I'm serious. Like, you think I'm trolling you. I am considering, if John Cummings ever gives me my Tarmogoyfs back, of building Jund. I hope he's doing well down in Orlando. So, I don't understand what the problem is. I think it's a doable card.
It costs too much.
Ah, oh, jeez. What's the most expensive card in Jund? Not dollars. Mana cost.
Mana cost? Like, in my deck right now?
Yeah.
4.
What? Okay, maybe it does cost too much. I'm going to try
it. The average converted mana cost of my deck is 1.3.
Let's build Jund on Modo so we can get a bunch of reps with it.
You can build Jund on Modo, Joe.
Okay, I'll throw in 200 if you all throw in 500.
No.
Okay.
I've paid the Tarmogoyf price already.
Yeah.
I don't think I want to do
it. Can we call it Tarmotax?
Sure.
That's what we should call it. Tarmotax. You want to play Jund, you got to play Tarmotax.
Yeah, no, maybe. You're not wrong.
If you wanted Tarmogoyfs, you should have been GP Columbus, where vendors were offloading them. Playsets. Playsets for 500. If you would take some beat-up, heavily played ones, you'd get a playset for 400.
That's a pretty low Tarmotax.
Oh, it was a low Tarmotax. No, it was also a very bad place to be trying to sell Tarmogoyfs. But I'm serious. They had stacks. Stacks and stacks of them. One of the vendors, I think I told you this, maybe I already recorded this, one of the vendors had like 50.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I don't know what to do with these.
Okay, Joe. I'm going to ask you, put your money where your mouth is, okay. And I am issuing you a challenge.
A challenge.
Thankfully, one of our local shops hosts a proxy modern night.
Okay.
Where you don't have to spend a dime other than the $5 entry fee to come and play. You build your Gitrog Jund shenaniganry and come and play and see how you do.
Well, I don't play on Thursdays. I got to go to the gym.
Uh-huh. Sounds like you're backing out.
I think you are backing out.
You know, the wife is out of town this week on vacation.
Yeah.
So if any week I can do it, it's this week.
Yeah.
Okay. I will try my best. Honestly, I'll try my best to be there Thursday.
Uh-huh.
I will have to go to the gym first.
Okay.
So I might come a little sweaty, but I'll be there.
You wouldn't be the only one.
I would be the only one with a good excuse, though. Another thing, Magic players, hygiene's important.
Deodorant is your friend.
I'm not a little guy. I try to smell good. Do I smell good, Chris?
Oh, I've smelled you plenty of times. Smell great.
But anyway, everybody, I think it's time for at least me to get off here. I got to go cook some food. I'll show you what else I got in GP Columbus real quick.
Whoop.
3 packs of antiquities. That's not antiquities.
That's
3 packs of alliances. I was like, wait, antiquities would have cost me a lot more money. One of the vendors opened a box, and they were selling packs for $10. The deal was, you can only buy 1 pack. So everybody with me bought a pack, and I traded them off of them. It's pretty fair. So
for a good Chaos Draft?
For a good Chaos Draft. So far for Chaos Draft, I have Time Spiral, I have Alliances, I have Khans of Tarkir, I have Modern Masters, and I have Shadows over Innistrad. I would really like to get some packs of Alpha, Beta, Unlimited, Revised. I'd really like to get some packs of Revised. I had to think for a second, make sure I didn't say the one that's like $1,000 a pack. But and throw those in there. But I don't know how well it would draft. And I don't know how I'd break the cost up. Like, the cost on these packs are relatively similar.
Uh-huh.
Like, the Alliances packs were $10. Time Spiral cost me about 8. So that's close-ish. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how to break this up.
I think just add it all.
Add it, but who gets which pack? Like, if it's all divided evenly and you have, like, a $70 pack in there, who opens that pack? Who gets to open the pack that
doesn't matter. It's a Chaos Draft.
So if you opened a mint condition underground sea, you'd be like, well, that's not in my color, so let me pass that by, boy.
Yeah, I'm so a good drafter, also, Joe.
Okay, but hear me out. You're also, if you're the one who chooses the revised pack,
yeah,
right? you are taking a super risk, because you have to remember that basic lands are just in there as cards.
Yes.
Right? So you could have a lot of just duds. Like, but I mean...
But you're going to pass them. That's the problem. I mean, it's a draft. You're just going to pass the basic lands.
Right.
They're not in the rare slot at that point. They quit doing that in beta.
Right. But even then, like, you're... At that point, you are chaos drafting strictly for money, right? Rather than... fun. So
if you hand me $500, I will take it.
No,
that is fun.
No, call me Pascal Maynard.
Trust me. No, I take the Goyf too. Like, okay. Screw Burst Lightning. but that's, I mean, that's the cost you pay.
Yeah.
Right? So if you are skimping on your first pick, then...
So here's another thought. I write the prices on these packs in dollars plus 10% because I've been having money tied up for these packs for a while. So $11 for an alliance and everybody... decides which packs they want to pay for. If you want to pay $200 and open an antiquities pack, more power to you. If you want to pay 50 cents, okay. If you just want to play, I'll give you some packs of Fallen Empires. Mm-hmm. You don't even have to pay for those. Those are free.
Oh, thanks, Joe.
Those are on me.
What a saint.
I'm a good guy. And you even, since it's Fallen Empires, you get to open two packs at once because there are only 8 cards and pick 2 cards. That's right. And you'll still lose. Yep. I don't know. If any of the listeners out there have any idea how... to fairly divide up chaos draft packs that are actually old and not just like standard, let us know. We need to figure this out so we can do this. And everybody won't be mad. I really, really want to put saga packs in it, but again, $70, $80 packs?
Yeah.
How do you divide that up fairly? But I gotta go cook some food for everybody. Why don't we tell everybody what's going on in our lives and magic lives next week, in case anybody cares.
I'm moving, and people are helping me. They're awesome.
I will be helping you. That's all day Sunday, right?
I was told there's pizza, so...
There will be pizza and beverages.
Adult beverages?
Yes.
Okay, I will eat no pizza, but I will drink a lot.
Okay.
I will be worthless within an hour.
after we're done moving, sure.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, they don't take pizza, too, then. I thought I was going to get out of moving.
Yeah.
I'm playing a PPTQ next weekend in Morristown. I'm going up with some of the Team Hard Knocks guys that actually have a chance at winning.
Yeah,
I'm playing Green Red Ramp, so I'm just going for the Planeswalker point. I'm well on track for 2 Grand Prix buys this year.
Awesome.
So when I actually play in a Grand Prix I care about that's Legacy or Modern, I'll have a shot.
Great.
Chris?
Probably try to join you, Q.
Okay. I look forward to beating you there. Or wasn't you? You're going to play Coco?
Probably.
Yeah, okay, never mind. I look forward to seeing you there, and hopefully not play you. I think that's all we got. Alex?
So, thank you for listening to our inaugural episode of The Bench. We hope you learned something, whether it was about us or about our failures at Magic. Hopefully you will keep listening, and thank you very much. See you next week.
Yeah.
I'm Alex.
I'm Joe.
I'm Chris.
And John Cummings may be making the top 8 of the Open in Orlando.
Probably not. He's still on the B team.
Probably not. If he does, we'll have an opening on the B team for one of you lucky listeners. Talk to you later. Bye.